You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates, and it is a good day for good conversation here on Faith and Family. January, we talk quite a bit about topics, life-affirming topics. We do that throughout the year, obviously, here on Faith and Family, but certainly some things that have been unfolding here in Missouri, so we're going to talk about that in just a little bit with our guest today. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website. Go to KFUO.org and look for the sponsor section. There you'll find the CUW logo in the sponsor section of KFUO.org. And joining me by phone today, the Reverend Jacob Miller. He's pastor at St. John Lutheran Church in Stringtown, Missouri, and the LCMS Missouri District Life Coordinator. Pastor Miller, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you. It's a joy to be on.
Glad to have some time to talk with you today. Tell us about your work as the Life Coordinator for the LCMS Missouri District.
Sure. The District Life Coordinator is a new position for our district. In fact, I'm the first one to have the title. It's something that's new to our church body as a whole. We're getting close to having all the positions filled in all the districts. I think we're at about 29 or somewhere close to there. Of the districts who have a district life coordinator. Some have been doing it for longer than others. There's several components to what I do. It's a volunteer position, and one of the things I do is I provide communication and serve as a simple avenue for networking on life issues between district, synod, and district called workers. I also work with National Pro-Life Lutheran Leadership to establish a chain for information dissemination on life issues between synod and district and called workers. And I'm also, you know, another just kind of an access point for resources on life issues. So if there is questions and people just aren't sure where to turn to, I kind of try to point them in the right direction. So I not only work with, in particular, Lutherans for Life and LCMS Life Ministries, on getting information from them to give to the district, but I also have the opportunity and great joy to tell them about pro-life efforts going on all over the state of Missouri and asking them, what resources do you have to help us with our ministry that we're doing in the state of Missouri and the projects that we're working on? So it's a really great way that we have this partnership between the organizations and our district to facilitate ministry on a very important topic, pro-life issue.
Well, I thank you for investing the time and energy and thought into serving in that position and keeping us all informed here in the Missouri District on these issues. One of the key issues happening right now in Missouri is a situation with the Planned Parenthood Clinic in Columbia, Missouri, right there in the middle of the state. What do you know about the history of this Planned Parenthood clinic?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know a lot of the history, at least at this point, as much as I would like to, as I'm establishing relationships with the pro-life community in Jefferson City and Columbia. I'm looking forward to learning more about the history, especially history of any problems that we know of. Most of the information that I know about this particular clinic really begins when the issue started flaring up over the summer of 2015 and into the fall, as far as what's been going on there. So I wish I could answer that question a little more thoroughly, but that's the best I have at this point.
Now, we know that not all, at least I think I'm right in this, that not all Planned Parenthood location sites offer or provide abortions, but this particular location in Columbia has, from time to time, offered abortions. And there are, in order for them to do that, there are certain requirements that are regulated by the state in order for them to provide abortions at that clinic. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is absolutely correct, and that's really been at the center of the controversy here at Columbia. Is this clinic compliant with the laws of the state of Missouri? And as far as the state of Missouri has been concerned, they are not compliant. But as far as one federal judge is concerned, this judge feels that this clinic was picked on and targeted by the Missouri legislature and has kind of stepped into save the Planned Parenthood Clinic in Columbia.
So that the state law requires that it treats the abortion provider as an ambulatory or a surgery center, an ambulatory center or something. I remember reading.
Yeah, an ambulatory like, surgical center is that's the language what it was. That they use.
Yeah. And so there are requirements for that. This isn't just abortion providers only, but any ambulatory surgical center is regulated by the state and requires that the physician providing the services there, or that they have access to a hospital within 30 miles, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And at Columbia, there is certainly that hospital, the University Hospital through the University of Missouri at Columbia. And that's been a part of it. The first part is that the Department of Health and Senior Services here in Missouri, DHSS, found that the clinic was not in compliance with that ambulatory surgical center statute, and so they were planning on revoking that license, and that's where the judge intervened. However, Dr. Colleen McNichols, who is out of St. Louis and works for Planned Parenthood there, had for a period of time her privileges through the University Hospital there in Columbia, but those privileges were taken away. And so currently, even though the judge has prevented the Department of Health and Senior Services from revoking their abortion license at Columbia, they are still not able to do any abortions because the only abortionist they have available is not able to have admitting privileges at the local hospital. So we thank God for that, but that's where the situation currently stands.
And what is the issue with the doctor, the physician, who provides the abortions? What is the problem not having credentials to have credentials at the local hospital?
Well,
it's a university hospital, right? State University Hospital.
Yeah, the hospital is through the University of Missouri Columbia. And so it is a hospital state of Missouri. And so the University of Missouri, is, of course, subject to laws of the state. Now, let's see. The University of Missouri, they had a contract with Planned Parenthood that put the university in violation of Missouri law that prohibits public funds, public employees, and public facilities from being used to assist an abortion. And so that was at the heart of the controversy that caused Dr. McNichols to lose her admitting privileges at the hospital. And Lutherans for Life, our local chapter in Jefferson City, the Capital Area Lutherans for Life, we got pretty involved with a letter campaign asking the University Board of Curators to stand by their decision in taking away her admitting privileges. And also 40 Days for Life and the pro-life community in general were very active in trying to support the University of Missouri in their decision to take away her admitting privileges.
So really this is a legal battle, and we're seeing it from all sides here. We're seeing that there's action from all sides, that the clinic does not meet the standards set by Missouri state law.
Correct.
Because they need to have the physician needs to have credentials at a hospital at a local hospital, basically within 30 miles.
Right.
And so, but the previous abortion provider, her credentials were with a state university hospital, which state law does not allow.
Yeah, they call it refer and follow privileges. I'll read you a little bit of the letter that we sent to the University of Missouri. We voice our support for the university's correct decision to cancel contracts with Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in Missouri, and to dissolve the refer and follow privileges that Planned Parenthood used to circumvent Missouri abortion law. That's the opening paragraph in the letter that we sent to the Board of Curators. And we sent, there were a total of, that we know of, a total of 4,602 letters that were submitted between local Lutherans and also other pro-life supporters here in the area.
Hmm. So what does this mean? Where then does this Planned Parenthood clinic stand presently? Because the action that the federal judge has mm-hmm. taken was certainly in favor of moving things forward for that for Planned Parenthood to provide abortions in central
right.
Missouri.
Right. Right now, the injunction is there. The U.S. District Judge Nanette Lowry, I believe that's how you say her last name, she's issued the injunction and has ordered the state of Missouri and Planned Parenthood to have things resolved by May 1st. So she's kind of overseeing that process where they try to resolve things on the clinic license. What that doesn't still address is the fact that Planned Parenthood at Columbia does not have a doctor that has those admitting privileges at the local hospital in Columbia in order to be able to do abortion. So even though the license thing is up in the air, the judge has intervened trying to protect Planned Parenthood and their license. There is still this other issue that is preventing abortions from happening at Columbia.
Hmm. So for the time being, at least, then abortions are not legally happening at the Planned Parenthood in Columbia.
Yeah, that is correct. And you know, only the Lord knows how long that will be, mm-hmm. which is why we have to continue to be vigilant and following this issue and letting our legislatures know and hear our voice and making our voices known just as much as we can on the pro-life issue.
Certainly, this is important. So we need to talk with those in legislation. We need to make our voices heard mm-hmm. with them. Are there key figures who have really stood out in this issue and have been champions for life?
I would say Senator Kurt Schaefer has really led the charge in the state of Missouri. There have certainly been other supportive legislatures in the Missouri House and Senate, but he's been the one who's been leading the investigation. He's also been on the Sanctity of Life Committee that's trying to do a probe with the St. Louis Planned Parenthood, and they're currently in a controversy there at St. Louis, too, where they are not responding to the lawful subpoena to appear before the committee in Jefferson City. And so there's, you know, even more issues going on there with Columbia. But Senator Kurt Schaefer has really been a key leader, a key voice defending the laws of the state of Missouri and being a pro-life voice.
What, and so this is certainly an important topic for us to stay on top of here in Missouri, and I'm sure this has implications across the country as well.
Mm-hmm.
What does this case here with this Planned Parenthood in Columbia indicate, if anything, about other clinics across the country? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I guess one of the things that I think it shows is that there is great potential with certain forms of legislation for making it more difficult for Planned Parenthood to operate. You know, the laws in the state of Missouri are not unreasonable laws. They're simply requiring Planned Parenthood to be a safe place like any other medical facility. And as we're seeing, Planned Parenthood has had trouble accommodating their building to the laws of the state of Missouri. And instead of trying to become compliant, they try to find ways to get around it, to get their license, and appeal to federal judges who are favorable to them. But I do think that even though the judge has intervened, it's still a case where the statutes here in Missouri, with the admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of the facility, that these smaller laws, these kind of baby steps, if you will, are also effective to a degree. And, you know, literally, these laws are saving the lives of children here in the state of Missouri, in the Columbia area, because they haven't been able to do abortions. You know, the pro-life groups around here, 40 Days for Life, you know, they go out and they pray every week outside the clinic, and they try to be there to help convince the women who are going in not to go through with it, and they keep count over the women who don't come back to have abortions. They know the days that those abortions would have. They know the day when those abortions would be happening. And so this Columbia Clinic, I think, indicates that this type of legislation can be really effective. Does it go as far as we want to in protecting the lives of unborn children? No, and we wish it did. But until the day where we can have laws that really and truly protect the value of every human life, these kind of laws do have value and can be effective.
What are some of the other things going on in the Missouri district then when it comes to life issues?
Well, other things going on in the Missouri district, I would say just bringing up one story that I saw here in our local newspaper. There was a case with the East District Court where there was a question of what happens to the life of a child who's on life support, but the child is in custody of the state. There was a question as to who decides to end life support for that child, and this is a life issue, end-of-life issue. And the court decided that it is not the Department of Health and Senior Services who makes the call to end life support, but rather it's the judiciary who would make that call. So I think that's a life issue that Missourians should just be aware of, to know that that's happening, that this debate was happening in the state of Missouri. But there's other things going on in terms of pro-life events coming up. Would now be an okay time to mention those?
Certainly.
On January 30th in Jefferson City is the Midwest March for Life. Most everyone knows about the big March for Life that happens in Washington, D.C. every year on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And it can be difficult for some people to make the commitment to get all the way out there to the East Coast. But we are having a Midwest March for Life in Jefferson City, and that's going to start at 10 a.m. It begins downtown at St. Peter's Roman Catholic Church. And at 10:45, there's a rally inside the state capitol on the first floor rotunda. Speakers are going to have Abby Johnson. She's a very well-known pro-life speaker. She had been a director and worker with Planned Parenthood for a number of years until she had her awakening and realized that what she was doing with Planned Parenthood, that was all wrong. And now she's a very fierce defender of the pro-life cause. So she's going to be speaking, and also a woman named Melissa Oden will be speaking. And she is a survivor of a failed saline infused abortion in 1977. So she gives some personal testimony and talks about the pro-life cause from someone who, had been attempted to be aborted, but she survived the abortion. So we're going to have some excellent speakers, and it will just be a wonderful opportunity for every Missourian to come and be a part of a very important movement for the pro-life cause in the state of Missouri.
Anything else on the Missouri district home front? Because I'd like to talk about your service in the parish as well.
Oh, sure. Well, in the parish, one of the things that, I'm doing, I'm very active with our local Capital Area Lutherans for Life. We also have Life Sunday coming up. This is a really important day. While it's not, really officially part of the liturgical calendar of our church, Life Sunday this year is suggested to be observed on January 17th, but really you can do it at any time during the year. But Lutherans for Life, their website, they have wonderful materials for this year's theme. You can order those materials. I believe Concordia Publishing House, there's kind of a partnership mm-hmm. between Lutherans for Life and CPH. And when you order those materials, I know I've already ordered my materials for the congregation. And I find it important to do Life Sunday. It's an issue that really needs to be continually brought in front of our people. They need to be aware of what's going on, how we think about the life issue as Lutherans, and how we might be able to have a pro-life witness in our personal lives, in our community. And Life Sunday is one of those opportunities that I have as a pastor to talk about these things with my people. So Life Sunday is coming up. If you haven't ordered your materials, you can still do that if your congregation's interested in doing it through the Concordia Publishing House website.
As a parish pastor, yes, certainly January is a time when we talk about these issues, when we talk about life-affirming issues. But what about throughout the year? What are the ways that, as a parish pastor, you address this these issues of life in your parish, in your community, in your home?
Oh, there are so many ways. I mean, the first way as a pastor that this happens is really through through teaching. But teaching doesn't only just occur in church during the sermon. It doesn't only just occur in adult Bible study, but you know, as I visit with my people, as I see them at church, as I see them in the community, and we talk about our lives, we talk about the things going on in our world, the things going on here in Mid-Missouri, we always have an opportunity, and I, as a pastor, have an opportunity to help frame the things that are happening through the eyes of faith, to frame the difficulties and challenges happening in terms of pro-life issues through what we believe and confess as Lutherans, and helping my people to see these issues not with just the secular media's perspective, which you know we all have access to, whether we're watching CNN or Fox News or listening to talk radio. But I have the unique opportunity to talk about these pro-life issues through the eyes and lenses of faith, mm-hmm. Which I really value that opportunity. And that happens all year long. That happens in classes. That happens outside of the classroom and just visiting with my people in at community events, talking to people, listening to what they're saying, what they're thinking about the events that are happening in the world around them. So.
Well, thank you, Pastor, for sharing that. What you do in as the Missouri District Coordinator and for Life, and also as a parish pastor, as we wrap up our conversation today and looking through ahead to the rest of this month of January, any other encouragement for us as we address these issues of life?
You know, when we follow the news. And we see the troubling news about abortion, about end of life issues, about any number of life issues. It can be really really discouraging for us. It can be kind of scary, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. I've heard fear is an emotion that a lot of people have. Fear, not just for themselves, but for the world that. Their children and grandchildren will live in, and what will that world be like? I think one of the big things to remember is that we really don't need to live in fear. We don't need to live in fear because we know who's in control. We know that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is in control. We know that He will give us the grace and the strength that we need during dark and troubling times. We know that He will give us the courage to speak, to testify of Him, and to witness to the pro-life issue, which is not just a political issue, it's a theological issue. And as Lutherans, we have the privilege of getting to approach the abortion question and all life issues through the eyes of faith. And when we look at the issue through the eyes of faith, with the knowledge that our Lord and Savior is in control, even in the midst of a broken, fallen, sinful world, we don't need to be filled with fear, even though that might be our first impulse or instinct, because we know who has already conquered our enemies for us. We know who has defeated sin, death, and the devil. And we can see that our Lord has always been with His church. Throughout the entire history of the church, He has given us the strength to confess, and He will continue to give us the strength, the wisdom, and the ability to confess when it's needed. So even though the days might sometimes seem dark and troubling, we need not fear. Our Lord and Savior has conquered through his death and resurrection, and he is always with his people.
Our guest today, the Reverend Jacob Miller, LCMS Missouri District Life Coordinator and pastor of St. John Lutheran Church, Stringtown, Missouri. Pastor Miller, thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
It was my honor. God's blessings to you.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Since 1980, the Chinese Communist government has imposed a draconian and brutal one-child policy to decrease its population. Women have literally been dragged into abortion chambers late in pregnancy and forcibly aborted and sterilized for having a second child. Now the authorities are allowing two children under the same draconian system. Often poor people are fined 10 times their annual salary for having an unauthorized child. In recent years, it was documented that two farmers committed suicide because they couldn't pay the fine. Many more go unreported. It's estimated over the years the government has extracted hundreds of billions of dollars from its people. These fines aren't subject to accountability, so much goes to line the pockets of ruthless so-called family planning officials.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Are you willing to share your talents while learning new skills and enjoying fellowship? The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is looking for volunteers who can help us share the love of Christ by offering their time and talents at the International Center. For more information, contact Maureen at Volunteer Connection 314-996-1629. 314-996-1629.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates, and having a great time talking with our guest today about a number of things. Great to hear from Pastor Miller and the Missouri District Life Coordinator about what's going on there in Central Missouri. And another topic when it comes to caring for women, it starts young, and caring for women and treating them as they should be treated and raising them up in the right way, the best way. And one of the groups that does that very well is American Heritage Girls. So happy to get to talk with Patty Garibay. She's the founder and National Executive Director for American Heritage Girls. Patty, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy. It's great to be here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes. Thanks for spending some time in the early part of this new year sharing with us about American Heritage Girls and what all happened in 2015, a number of great things that AHG Girls did in the past year and what we're looking forward to in the year ahead. And I know that American Heritage Girls works very diligently and collaboratively to raise up young women who are faithful and and good citizens as well. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what's going on at American Heritage Girls today.
Well, it has been one exciting year. 2015 for us marked our 20th anniversary, our birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. You never know it, but 20 years ago, the Lord had prompted some parents around the kitchen table to start a Christ-honoring scouting-type program for girls in response to some of the changes that were occurring in the Girl Scouts at that time. And who would think, except in God's big plan, that this organization would not only still be around, but actually thriving and growing, impacting girls' lives for Christ. And so this year has been a very, very special year, not just for myself, but for all the members involved.
Well, glad to hear that. For our listeners who maybe haven't heard about American Heritage Girls before, which I don't know how that's possible with the conversations we've had numerous times before, share with us who are American Heritage Girls? What is your mission? What are you all about?
Our mission, American Heritage Girls' mission, is to love God, cherish our families, honor our country, and to serve in our communities. That is the oath that every American Heritage Girl makes. Our mission is to build women of integrity through service to God, family, community, and country. And the way the girls do this is through regular troop meetings with faith-filled adults at charter partner facilities, which is usually the Lutheran church or the Lutheran school, or, you know, we offer our program to other Christ-centered organizations and denominations as well. And this program is eligible for girls ages 5 to 18. And it's a great outreach because not all the girls necessarily attend church every week, but this is a way for them to get to know the Lord through relationships and through being around like-minded sisters in Christ. We do this through a lot of different progressive program offerings, which would be like social development through special events, girl leadership opportunities at all levels. And Andy, that is our laser focus in the next 3 years is girl leadership opportunities. Life skill enhancement, and that's done through the acquisition of badges, as we often know about scouting. Character development through our strong community service program, which we'll talk about a little bit. Developing teamwork and building confidence, and we do that through a lot of outdoor experiences. Mm-hmm. And then spiritual development through biblically-based programming and through working with the PRAY organization as well.
You know, it just as you talk about it, it just makes me want to get outside, even though it's kind of a gloomy day here in St. Louis. But it makes me think of my times as a kid and in some of the scouting things that I was involved in, and the friendships that were developed there, and the abundant learning and community service that was a part of scouting as well. And I'm grateful for that experience. You mentioned service being an important aspect of American Heritage Girls. What can youth learn from these service experiences?
Wow. To me, it's the most impactful part in that the girls learn to think outside of themselves. And as the Lord has wired us, is that when we give ourselves away, that's when we are really, truly blessed. And the girls start to realize perhaps the vocation that the Lord's calling them to fulfill. What is God's will for their lives? And they sort of practice all of these, you know, through the life skills, through the service, and try to figure out, Lord, what is it that you have for me in this life? What am I to do? And the girls are able to do this through just putting their toes in the water in various service activities. I was just recently reading a quote from one of our Stars and Stripes Award winners, which is the highest award you can achieve in American Heritage Girls. And these are typically girls in senior high school. And she wrote this. She's from Florida. She said, American Heritage Girls has had a big impact on my life. First and foremost, I am grateful that I was part of HG because it has helped me grow in my walk with the Lord and to become friends with other like-minded girls. Also, it has taught me to appreciate the great country I live in, and I'm thankful for the emphasis my troop has put into serving the community with events such as Veterans Day memorial services. My non-HG friends don't even know how to talk to and thank a service person, or even that they should, but my leaders taught me through example the importance of doing so. While I look forward to starting college in the fall, I will miss my HG troop and all the fun camping trips, lock-ins, and adventures we have had. I thought that's just such a cool way to say of her experience. Mm-hmm. She's been in American Heritage Girls for 12 years and what it meant to her. So serving, patriotism, friends, and just learning what it's like to have fun as a girl.
Well, that letter is certainly no surprise because of all the aspects that make up American Heritage Girls. But how nice to hear that response from this young lady as she's going off into the next chapter of life and doing so very well equipped, very well prepared, with the skills that she learned as an American Heritage Girl and with confidence too.
Absolutely. She is one sharp girl, and she's not exceptional. She is just one of the many byproducts of the American Heritage Girl program. Parents choose American Heritage Girls as yet another arrow in the quiver that every girl needs today, and it just helps parents to be able to navigate the waters of this crazy society we live in. We come alongside the church. We never take the place of the church, but come alongside to help encourage the girls to know who their identity is in Christ. And if every girl really realized what that would be, mm-hmm. Think about the opportunities that families in the future would have if we had confident moms and dads leading the families.
That was my next question. As you talk about parents, how does American Heritage Girls support parents in their vocation?
Absolutely. They come alongside the parents. The parents are an integral part of the troop. They get to grow alongside their daughters and their sons. I mean, now we also help work with groups like Trail Life USA, which is a boys program. And it can be a whole family scouting endeavor that way. But it's just been so cool to see parents and families growing because of their involvement with American Heritage Girls. It's back to what made our country great. Just really focusing on the importance of God in your life, the importance of loving country, and the importance of loving one another.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some of the ways that American Heritage Girls celebrated that 20th birthday and ways in which they served in their community served their country this past year in 2015.
Oh, it's been fantastic. Our birthday, which was September 13th, 2015, was the actual day that we had, instead of celebrating and receiving gifts, American Heritage Girls gave service. And we call this our National Day of Service. And this year, we gave over 100,000 hours just on that day of service, and over 600,000 hours of community service have been given to communities across the nation this year. So American Heritage Girls doesn't do this in a small way. They do it in a very large way. And we do that by multiplication, by everybody coming together unified to say, we want to serve on this day. But also, Andy, we did something internationally that was pretty profound. And it was way beyond my expectations. Again, God's multiplication came into work. American Heritage Girls worked with Operation Christmas Child, a group out of Samaritan's Purse, to bring boxes to children across the world. We thought it would be very cool to say, OCC, we are going to pack 20,000 boxes in order to celebrate our 20 years of ministry. And do you know that the Lord blesses not only what 20,000, but 29,000 boxes will be distributed to girls and children across the world? And at the end of this month, I am so blessed to be part of the shoebox distribution in a third world country and to see these children not only receive a shoebox, but to receive the message of Jesus.
Wow. Well, that's great it was just the outpouring was abundant and the work was certainly a good way for the girls to serve, but also I'm sure a learning experience as well for them.
It was. It also led them to understand diversity and different cultures and how children in other parts of the world live. And it was so neat for them to look not just at the shoebox as a bunch of toys, but, you know, the girls would start to think about how could a girl maybe catch a fish to feed her family. And so they created little fishing kits. Or how could a girl help with the laundry for their family? And they would put clotheslines and clothespins into those boxes. And, of course, they put in something that would be fun for a girl. But I love that they were thinking so much outside themselves and realizing that they could be part of a solution. And I think that empowerment that only comes from Christ in us is being put into the hearts of girls all across the country through the American Heritage Girl Program. But even beyond that, this year, we had the most outstanding effort with wreaths across America, honoring our soldiers, our fallen soldiers. And many of our troops, particularly the ones in the, near the Arlington Cemetery, the Northern Virginia area, they love to do this service project every year where they place fresh wreaths on the graves of our fallen heroes. And it's not just happening in Arlington, but all across the country. And this year, I really have seen that the power of this service project has really escalated. And that was a very, very cool thing to see. In addition, this month, January, Right to Life Month, we got to talk about that, Andy, because I have seen more and more girls serving pregnancy care centers in their communities through collection drives, through helping with child care, helping with cleaning the toys in the playrooms for the moms that go into pregnancy care centers. But also this year, American Heritage Girls is going to make a very large presence at the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. American Heritage Girls will also have a booth at the March for Life exposition, showing that we are committed to respecting life from conception to natural death. And this is a very important piece for girls everywhere to understand that the role of women is important, particularly in this issue.
A very important issue. And sometimes we think this is a topic that, we begin teaching teaching youth about when they're older, when they're in high school. But why is it important for us to teach this culture of life at a younger age for American Heritage Girls, for all youth?
Oh, it is so vital. Studies have shown, and you may be familiar with George Barna and his extensive research, that if a girl or a child doesn't know the right and wrong biblical worldview by the age of 12, the likelihood for them to understand it as an adult is very, very, very slim. I mean, single-digit percentages. And so for the girls to understand what is right and wrong, it's important for it to start at an early age. And this isn't talking about all the intricacies of abortion and how horrific that is, but actually honoring life and talking about how important conception, from the time you were conceived, the Lord wove who you will be in the womb of your mother. You are important because of that. And that's how American Heritage Girls doesn't get into curriculum or things like that, but rather honoring life. Mm-hmm. And this is just another way for girls to be able to share what they're all about. And we're going to march for life, yes, but more importantly, we're going to get involved in our communities, and we're going to help those that are struggling with these decisions.
Glad to hear that. I know that there are people of all ages, including children, at the March for Life, and how encouraging it must be to see so many people who are like-minded, that we may be different in many ways, but that we value life and see the sanctity of life, the gift that it is from God, and to stand in solidarity on that in our nation's capital. And this year, there's also a march out on the West Coast in San Francisco as well, on the 23rd. So the 22nd in Washington, D.C., and the 23rd in San Francisco. And there are many marches across the country in local cities and states as well.
Right. Very, very cool. And I'm sure there'll be many American Heritage Girls in those various cities as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, across the country. Now, you mentioned some of the things that that the American Heritage Girls, the troops, did in December. The Wreaths Across America Day. I want to go back to that for a minute. That was December 12th, if I remember correctly, and a way to recognize and honor those who have served and made a great sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice for our country, for our freedom in this country, by placing wreaths on those graves of our fallen soldiers. And how was that received by the communities in which they served? Did you hear any response from the communities where the girls were serving in Wreaths Across America Day?
Absolutely. We actually at the national office even received thank you notes from family members. We're so touched to see these young girls in their red, white, and blue uniforms placing these wreaths. We were blessed by pretty good weather generally in the areas, particularly Arlington Cemetery, but placing these wreaths on their graves. And they happened to be out there or seeing the girls and the photographs, I mean, one even made the front page of the USA Today of an American Heritage girl placing this wreath on a grave of a fallen hero. But they are so appreciative, and the girls even go another step. Maybe they don't always put wreaths on the graves of fallen soldiers, but they're actually helping the servicemen today and our civil servants. I love the stories of the girls bringing cupcakes to the fire department or Christmas cookies to the police department. We're always hearing these sweet gestures of thank you for serving us. And this day and age, there's so much turmoil around all of these issues, and the girls are still trying to say thank you for serving us. And I think that's an important message as well.
Absolutely. The delivering treats to their local fire and police stations this year and first responders. What a nice gesture of gratitude.
Absolutely. And to think again, outside yourself, in this me, I generation, I. I love seeing these girls serving others and saying, you know, what do I need, but what does someone else need? Isn't that what the gospel's all about?
Absolutely. That Christ has come for us, and he has come and made the greatest sacrifice for us. Therefore, because of that, we can serve others. We can be hands of mercy and make sacrifices for others, all empowered by him.
Absolutely.
Well, we've talked about service and a number of other things. What are other things that a girl, a young lady, learns in American Heritage Girls?
Well, I had mentioned a little bit about girl leadership, and we are very, very excited to be really focusing in a laser-like way on girl leadership. And this isn't about girl power. It's about Christ's power in a girl. And we are leading. My definition, Andy, of leadership is anyone who influences another. And therefore, everyone is a leader because we all influence one another. And so how we influence positively or negatively, or how we influence, does it reflect Christ or does it not, is all very important. And so we are using techniques from Lead Like Jesus, a group that was founded by Ken Blanchard, that will help the girls understand about that Jesus was the perfect role model of leadership. He led humbly. He led with great servitude, but yet with great strength. And he continued a laser focus on what God's will was for him and his life. It does not mean that Jesus did everything, that he didn't show some anger at times and that he didn't show sorrow at times and that he was completely strong at all times. But we are using Jesus as our role model in teaching the girls how to lead from the heart, how to lead from the head, and how to lead with her hands, which is serving. And so this is really becoming so awesome to see how the girls are learning leadership skills that will bring her into her future in a very, I think she'll have a very much an advantage when she goes into her vocation, whether it be motherhood, whether it be in a career, or whether it be in ministry, which is we're seeing a lot of those fruits too, which is fantastic, to be able to understand what leadership, servant leadership, really means, and that it's not just a term, but it's actually an active verb.
Where do we find, how do we get connected with an American Heritage troop? How do we get connected with a group and as a family? Where would we find them?
Great question. Of course, our website is the place to go at AmericanHeritageGirls.org. You can find a troop in your area right at the very top of our brand new website, another initiative for this fantastic 20th anniversary year, is you simply type your zip code into the Find a Troop location at the very top right of the website. And you can type in there and find the troop that's closest to you. If there's not, doesn't happen to be one in your community, and you think this would be wonderful for your family, there's lots of information on how to start a troop, and you'll find that on the website as well. If you are a pastor and think that you would love to have a ministry that would really serve the entire family, that information on how to start a troop in your church is also available on the website. Again, it's AmericanHeritageGirls.org.
Very good. AmericanHeritageGirls.org. There's a nifty little locator right there on the top right-hand side of the page. You just enter your zip code and it pulls up the information, finds a troop in your area. And if there isn't one, like you said, you can help start one in your community. What a great way to raise up these young ladies in a strong and faithful way. What kind of commitment is needed from families to be involved in American Heritage Girls? Because I know that's a question that many families will ask today. Yes, we think this is a great idea, but we're a busy family. We've got a lot, you know, this and this and this going on. And what kind of commitment is it? What's the return on my investment, some might ask?
Exactly. Well, there's an eternal impact and being involved in American Heritage Girls, and I think that's pretty important. Oftentimes we put our kids in sports and other activities, which are all wonderful, but are they being internally impacted? That is the question that many parents want to ask about when choosing their extracurricular activities. And as far as time commitment, there's typically a troop meeting every other week for about an hour to an hour and a half. Becoming a volunteer is super, super fulfilling, and that requires a little bit more time because you help the girls to plan their activities and their troop meetings. But also the payback, the ROI, as you mentioned, Andy, is just, I can't even give you an ROI on it because it's so huge because the Lord's in it. And so the blessings that you receive from being part of your daughter's life and being part of other ladies' and gentlemen's lives as families that work within this troop, I mean, it's incredible what happens in an American Heritage Girl troop, Andy. Recently, we literally had a dad from one of the troops donate a kidney to a child of another member of the troop. This is what happens. There's a family that becomes knitted together that are not together by blood or anything else, but simply by what they have in common in this AHG troop. And he literally donated a kidney, and now this young boy is able to survive. So this is a program that is not just a drop-off, I just want my daughter to wear that uniform and maybe earn a few badges. No, this becomes transforming because it is Christ-centered.
With just about a minute left, what can we look for in 2016 with American Heritage Girls?
Well, you're going to see us, like I mentioned, at the March for Life. You're going to see more and more girl leadership opportunities avail themselves in. Soon in 2017, the launch of our Girl Leadership Institute, which allows girls to come from all over the country to learn very vital skills around the Lead Like Jesus and the Habitudes curricula that we have adopted. And you're also going to see more and more girls. We are growing at a 30% rate all around the country, over 950 troops, and over 42,000 members. And as the Lord provides, we will continue to grow and make an impact on our country in His name.
Well, thanks be to God for the work that you're doing and helping raise up young girls. Glad that that we, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and the American Heritage Girls have a memorandum of understanding as well that helps us work together and to do this this noble work so diligently and so faithfully.
And we are as well very grateful for that. And thank you, Andy, and Happy New Year to all of your listeners.
Thank you. Again, AmericanHeritageGirls.org is the website. Patty Garibay, founder and national executive director for American Heritage Girls. Thanks for being our guest today on Faith and Family. Always a joy to talk with you.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word with Pastor Whedon. And tomorrow we'll take a look at some topics in the January issue of the Lutheran Witness. Hope you can join us for those conversations as well. You're listening to the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.